Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is March the 16th, and I'm with Scott and Elaine for another Words of Grace podcast.
Hey, Justin.
Hello.
Hello. It's a little different today.
It is different. The world is different.
It is. The world is very, very different. And so talking about that difference, yesterday was a little different for our worship on Sunday morning. So Scott, talk about yesterday. Yeah. How was that?
And it was strange. Yeah. Now, someone asked me if we've ever closed worship, you know, canceled a worship service.
Yeah.
The first year we started as a congregation, 1993, I was around because, you know, we started the church. Elaine, were you here in 1993?
I was by Easter.
Okay, well, before Easter, before Elaine got to Grace, there was a massive ice storm in Nashville. And so we had to shut down Sunday services. And then I think maybe one other time because of snow. But the flood, what year was the flood?
2010.
The big flood of 2010, we were actually having Sunday service when it was flooding. So technically, we did not shut it down, although I called it quickly, cut it short, sent everybody home.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, yesterday was the first time we've canceled for something like this.
Yeah, okay. So because we canceled, we operated a little differently. Of course, we didn't have our normal gathering, but we had a video that went out. So talk about that. What feedback are you getting?
Yep.
How do you feel like it went from your perspective to have a video that people would play in their living room?
Well, since I was the one on the video, it was kind of hard for me to say how the video was.
Yeah.
what did you guys think about it?
I loved it. It felt kind of like Mr. Rogers in front of the fireplace speaking comforting words to me.
Yeah. My kids asked if they could color at the table while we watched the video. I said, no, you need to sit at the couch. And so, because, you know, sometimes they color during the service.
You should let them color.
I should let them color. The baby just screamed the whole time.
Oh, okay.
But a good scream.
Yeah. So. We did we did a recording. I think everybody who's listening to this probably saw that. But if not, if you missed it, you can always go back. It's online. And we just did a short, reading from Romans 8 and put some music with it that the worship team recorded. Actually, at rehearsal last week before we decided for sure that we were going to cancel the service. So I think it went well. I got lots of good feedback. And we'll, should this continue, should this cancellation policy continue for other weeks, then we will certainly do it again and do something to encourage everybody on Sunday. But one thing I do want to say about yesterday that I really appreciated was that people were giving me emails and text messages pretty much all day.
Yeah.
Responding. And then also telling me and showing me how they were encouraging other people. That was really big.
That's good.
That really encouraged me to know that people were saying, that they had checked on so-and-so or they had seen this with somebody. And somebody was at the beach, we had a family at the beach. They sent me a picture of them all watching it at the beach for spring break. So.
I got a response from one of our missionaries and just a sweet email to say, for the first time in a long time, and they weren't saying it in a bad way, but saying, I felt like everyone understood kind of what I go through on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, because you feel very isolated in another country, even if you go to a congregation, it's probably not in your language or your normal language. And so it was really neat to say, like, man, I felt more close to my community than I ever felt, like, in a way. Not that we all want to do this forever, but I mean, I think they were saying it just felt like I was sitting in my living room watching this across the world.
So. And then someone sent in an email that said, as they were watching the video with their family and their children, they began to explain to their children about the house church movement around the world.
Yeah.
And in a minute, we want to actually talk about that, praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world who are gathering in their homes all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was encouraging.
Well, good. Well, again, I thought, Scott, it was really great. I thought picking Romans 8 was perfect for an encouragement, and it was exciting. Again, I was getting a lot of feedback as well from people. So let's go to the next question. And, Scott, so talk about our ongoing schedule this week. What will that look like? Kind of give us some insight into that as we move forward.
Well, definitely we have canceled all events for this week that are Grace events.
Okay.
So, interestingly, the timing, we have spring break. So like youth group was not meeting anyway.
Yeah.
Because this year, both Davidson and Williamson have spring break at the same time. So youth group was canceled.
And a lot of community groups were already.
A lot of community groups, yeah. So, but we went ahead and said that all Grace events this week are canceled. If people need individual care, then certainly I'm available to meet with someone, and others maybe as well. So, but I will certainly meet with someone if they need that. They can just contact us at the office. But events, small groups, all canceled for the week.
Okay, good. So I'll cancel all for the week. Now, Scott, let's move on to two more questions, I think, that are just specifically for our congregation. So one is, how would you encourage our people today? As we're walking through this time, it's kind of strange, and we're having to be confined probably to our homes. How would you encourage our people today?
Well, Elaine can jump in on
and
this
Elaine
too,
as well,
as we go along. But I'll just lead off by saying this morning, one of the things I do this year, this is my 2020 plan, along with my normal, my regular Bible reading, is I decided, since we started in Psalm 119 as a congregation, I decided to take one of the 22 sections each day, just one a day, eight verses, and start my morning with one, and then pick up where I left off and just keep repeating throughout the year. So this morning, I open up to my reading from Psalm 119. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, and all things are your servants." That was a great way to start my day.
Yeah, that's good.
To remember that, you know, as the world or the earth experiences all sorts of natural disasters and diseases, and we can get ourselves into a panic. And I don't say that lightly, because I do know that there are disasters that are horrible. I mean, they really do devastate human life and property and those sorts of things. Having said that, though, it was so good this morning to read that the Lord's word is firmly fixed.
Yeah.
Like, it will happen. His purposes stand. All things serve his purpose. He is faithful to the end. The earth is established, and it stands as the Lord intends. So I would encourage people to get in the word. I mean, I really would. Take advantage of whatever extra time you might have. I mean, if you're a medical professional, you don't have extra time right now, probably. But other people may, because of kind of the shutdown mode that we're in. And the Bible says that it itself, the word of the Lord, stands forever. My encouragement would be to spend some extra time in the word.
Yeah.
It'll build our faith.
Good. So good. So being in the word, very important. Elaine, how else would you encourage our congregation?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I've kind of came to me last night, and we've been so glad that people have emailed, texted, sent prayer requests and needs that have already come up. And the way that I'm wired is that I tend to just really rise up and do the tasks that are at hand and think that way. And then sometimes it will be later that there will be a little bit of emotional fallout with me. And I experienced that a little bit last night when I was trying to go to sleep. And I just had this picture in my mind of the CDC's color-coded map of the world of all of the hot spots for this virus. And it really started to sink in with me that our Heavenly Father is totally aware of what's happening all over the earth. But I just was, as I was trying to go to sleep, I was really just praying and asking Jesus what he's thinking about all of this and what would he be wanting us to do at this time. And then unfortunately, I fell asleep before he answered me, and maybe that's a good sign. But I was really encouraged because I've received all kinds of little Bible verses here and there, seen them on social media. And one of them was Romans 15:13. And it was really good for me because I have used that particular verse as an exercise at different times when I've been feeling anxious. And it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hmm. And so I really picked that back up this morning. That was really good for me, first of all, to just tell myself, we belong to the God of hope. Mm-hmm. When we look ahead, we can have confidence and peace. Hmm. And the Holy Spirit is ready to fill us, even to overflowing with all joy and peace, mm-hmm. it says. Mm-hmm. Overflowing with hope. And then my part in it then is just to continually, sometimes just by act of will, place my trust in him. Mm-hmm. So that was just one way that someone mm-hmm. else's encouragement of just texting out that particular verse mm-hmm. sparked me to use that mm-hmm. just as an exercise in telling myself the truth and in bringing me to prayer. Mm-hmm.
Good. So not only being in the word, but encourage others with the word.
Yeah.
And let that be something that keeps us going during this time. Good. What
yeah.
else?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorite teachings of Jesus on prayer is, you know, he's teaching a parable about prayer, or a story about prayer. And at the end, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? And the reason that's important to me is because he links finding faith on earth with finding people in prayer.
Yeah.
And so I would say pray. Yeah. We have a great opportunity to seek the Lord during these days. Hmm. Do good. Yeah. I think we need to be doing good. Seriously. Like yeah. that. Like people, I don't know why we don't use that phrase anymore. Hmm. You know, do good. Just do good. Do something good.
Yeah.
We're the people who've experienced the goodness of God, and you know, we should be found doing the good that God's called us to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's the return of Jesus or whether it's you know, during a crisis,
yeah,
a natural disaster or something like that. So, yeah, you know, be in the Word, be in prayer, and do good. Mm. Find someone to love, some way to love.
Yeah.
We had a really another text that came in to me last night or this morning, I think this morning, but I was encouraged. We have someone in our church who is in a situation of need and can and is kind of in a situation of like isolation, loneliness. But I was so grateful that this when this person texted me and said that she had reached out to five people by text message to let them know that they were loved. And we had a powerful text message back and forth this morning. And I could tell that this person's own spirits were lifted because she was doing good. She was letting other people in our congregation know that she loves them and that God loves them.
Oh, that's great.
So just very simply, you know, find ways to do good.
Good.
Use the extra time.
Good. Could I say even in that too, finding ways to love people who are not in faith?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about doing good. I think it extends not only just to people in the church, but people outside the church.
That's right.
Finding a way in this moment, because I think we talked about it before this podcast, but this anything that happens like this in history kind of has a way of rattling you. Mm-hmm. And it means people in the faith and people that don't know Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's a great opportunity for us.
Were you telling me the story? Somebody was telling me.
Yeah. So I have a friend that my wife and I have supported for years who's working in the Middle East, but actually among South Asians in the Middle East. And he got struck up a conversation with a guy in a store, and he was super fearful of the coronavirus and said, I'm afraid I'm going to get this and die. And he said, well, yeah, I'm afraid, but I put my hope in Christ and shared the gospel. He said, well, come back and talk to me more about that. Came back the next day, and the guy said, man, I'm ready to believe. Let's do this. And so he's trusting Christ. He's starting to disciple this guy, and he's starting to share his faith already with his family members. Mm-hmm. And so just, again, another great opportunity to share Christ in this time.
Right. I was just thinking about how quickly we move on to other things that here in Nashville, we've just experienced a tornado in the last couple of weeks. And we saw how people just immediately came out and helped each other. Mm-hmm. And in this case, if it's an ongoing situation, it may be more of a longer term effect that people are needing to meet needs. And we need to let each other know what those things are. But in both of those kind of situations, I just am thinking about the words of Peter about being prepared to share why we have the hope that we have.
Yeah.
And there's so many opportunities right now to use words to do that.
Good. So we've got being in the Word, sharing the Word, reaching out to people, Even if we're lonely, reach out to people. That can be a way of even encouraging us and then also doing good to others, both in the church and outside the church. And yep. So good. Those are some great ways that we can be encouraging others, and we can go out to others and serve others. So you mentioned prayer, mm-hmm. Scott, in there, and I want to kind of go back to that. What are some specific ways, Elaine and Scott, do you think our congregation can be praying?
Yeah.
One of the first ones that I have thought about, mm-hmm. are our elder, mm-hmm. parents, our elders, mm-hmm. And people who have really limited mobility. Mm. Right now, I'm thinking about so many of our families who are caregiving other family members and maybe unable to get to them at this time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in categories in my prayers of thinking about our medical people in our city, in our churches, I think those are the first ones that come to my mind.
Well, and that's really big here at our own congregation. And everybody knows we live in a city with numerous hospitals and teaching hospitals, right. And universities, and we have many medical professionals in our own congregation. So if you know them by name, you need to be praying for them. We mm-hmm. have several people in our congregation who are serving yeah. in at the by the bedsides, as well as in more policy making, directive, yeah. Direction, administrative type roles in the medical community. So I would say absolutely everybody needs to pray. We know who they are in yeah. our congregation. So you're listening to this, start praying for them by name.
Yeah.
Because they're working and they're thinking and they're deciding, and they certainly need God's wisdom.
Yeah, I would say, one of the things that I was thinking and praying for this morning was, we're again going back to our missionaries. Mm-hmm. So I got an email from another missionary mm-hmm. who's in Central Asia. And again, it's very isolating to be in another culture anyways, but they're in lockdown. Yeah. So they're in isolation because of this as well, because it's not just in America, right? We know it's worldwide. And so they're like, wow, I'm isolated because I'm in a different culture, but now I'm told I can't leave my house now. So yeah. Now I'm really stuck. So even praying for them as they go.
So that's kind of what we would call a mental or emotional health.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So let's pray for that.
Yeah.
Let's encourage ourselves to remember that there are people who are going to be more susceptible to some of the mm-hmm. emotional sides of this and mental health sides of this that we need to be praying for as well. I'll throw out another one. I think we need to be praying for the economy,
mm-hmm. yeah.
for the economics yeah. of all this. Mm. And again, we all know on the macro level what's happening. You see the stock market just up and down every day based on what comes out of a report from Washington or something. But think of it this way too. We have people in our church who are hourly waged people.
Yeah.
We have people who are small business people who actually depend on customers showing up.
Yeah.
And so those people are being severely affected. Mm. So we need to be praying for the economics of it, and even willing and ready to do some sharing
yes.
where we find out about needs.
Yeah, good. Well, so anything else, Lane, do you have on your list about ways to pray?
I think what you were saying, it really hit me, same email, that a lot of times we don't pay attention to things that are not happening in the U.S., mm-hmm. but in this case of just really being aware of what's happening all over the world and mm-hmm. praying for our world. And I think, Scott, you were going to bring that up as well.
Yeah.
About just thinking about the church mm-hmm. across the globe.
Yeah.
And how they are being impacted every day.
Yeah.
Not just in a particular health crisis that now we are that we're sharing in, that mm-hmm. we're a part of.
Yeah, so we're meeting, we met yesterday as a church, but each individual listening to a video. So we had that kind of pulling away, had to come away from our normal gathering, meet in homes. And one of our people emailed in and said that they took that opportunity to teach their children about the house church movement around the world, that sort of thing, which reminds me to remind us all that we pray, and we should be praying for what we call the persecuted church.
Mm-hmm.
There are Christians around the world today meeting in secret, not just in homes because they can't gather yeah. because of a virus. They're meeting in secret because they can't gather because of the government.
Right.
And today on my prayer calendar is the country of Maldives.
Mm.
There are 444,000 people that live on this tiny island out in the middle of the ocean between India and Africa. And of that 444,000 people, there are only a few thousand Christians.
Yeah.
There are less than 1% of the population is a Christian, are Christians. And they meet in secret.
Yeah.
There are a few Bibles, but if they have one, they keep them hidden. They can't confess their faith publicly. There are gangs, it's an Islamic country, and there are Muslim gangs that the government won't, that will harm the Christians, and they kind of do the proxy work of the government.
Yeah.
It's just so hard on this, and this is happening today.
Yep.
So let's, as we pray for ourselves, let's pray for the world.
Yeah. And one of those places you can go to, Open Doors, is an organization that has like a world watch list. I'd encourage people to go on that. It can give you like what you're getting, a different country every day to pray for. Operation World's a great book that you could grab and look through countries. But yeah, there's a lot of ways you can pray for the persecuted church. Good. Any other ways to pray that you're thinking of? Good. We got emotional health on there. We've got those that have small business, the healthcare professionals,
Health in general.
Health in general.
Our witness to our neighbors.
Yeah.
Wisdom for our families that have to make decisions about where to go and should they go to work today. Just the stress that the everybody's daily, under of just making daily decisions.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you guys again, and Scott and Elaine. I know you're doing a lot of care on your end that people aren't seeing for people that are at home and those that are a little older maybe, that are maybe even be worried about this virus. And Scott, again, thank you for the video. I know that took a lot of changing your plans and putting that together.
Fine.
But
we're happy to do it.
Good. So we'll continue to communicate, I know, to our congregation as the week unrolls and unravels here and we look at it. And I just encourage people with everything we mentioned to be in the Word, encourage in the Word, reach out to people. I was texting this morning with my community group guys, just, hey, how are y'all doing? What's going on? And it was good to check in on everyone. So encourage people to do that.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it. And we'll continue to communicate.
Thanks.